be afternoon or maybe evening wherever you are. But for those of you that are right here live with me, I want to welcome you. We have been journeying together through learning about feeling-based responses, right? Which are rooted in our sentiments, right? So whether these responses are found in your emotion center, in your cultural center, or your relational center, I pray that you have come to a greater awareness that they are not found in Jesus the Christ. Come on. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. I'm ready to go. Our new journey will develop our kingdom nature. That's what I'm going after today. As an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, my job is to develop your kingdom nature, not your cultural nature, not your emotional nature, not your relational nature to this world, but your kingdom nature according to your identity in Christ Jesus. So listen, I want us to walk together, okay, through this government-based response that's rooted in obedience and identity. We're back on it. We're back to Jesus. We're back to Jesus. But I had to take you through your personal disposition, your personal ailments, and your personal misalignment with the word, with the king, with the kingdom, and with your salvation to bring you to this point. It would be no point to lay out what I'm about to teach you if you did not understand that your sentiments were in the way. Do you guys understand that your sentiments have been in the way of your salvation? Come on, can I hear you this morning?
Yes.
All right, so now, I like to call this particular place we're about to go the Jesus mode. Let's move into the Jesus mode, right? And the reason why we can move into the Jesus mode is because Jesus is a leader of the wheat and not the tear. Come on this morning. I want you to understand that your sentiments keep you as a tear. But Jesus deals with the wheat. And so with that being said, I have to move you into that. So there is only one type of kingdom sentiment, right, that can respond to eternity, that can respond to God the Father. And that is the Jesus mode. The Jesus mode is a governmental sentiment, is led by God, is led through obedience, and is definitely executed through your obligation to the king, to his kingdom, and what else? To his citizenry. This was Jesus's posture the entire time that he walked the face of the earth. Actually, this is his posture before he even entered into the earth. Oh, come on here. You must understand Jesus didn't just come and suddenly get a new identity. He came with his identity, which is why I'm working hard for you to understand that you too have come to this earth with an identity. Though you may have been born in sin and shaped in iniquity, your identity, your true identity was already formulated in eternity. We'll get with that later because right now I'm teaching you the Jesus mode. You're going to find Jesus's posture in John 5:19 as being a God, what? That is obedient to what he came here to do. So we're going to come out of that and we're going to teach from that position because you have to understand that obedience is the marker of sonship. Obedience is the marker of sonship. Come on here. This is for those of you who believe that you are a son, but yet you are not obedient to the word of the Lord, to the scripture itself, yet your foundation is not rooted in truth. Come on here. Obedience is the marker of sonship, and it's also the marker of salvation. Come on. I want you to understand that your heart posture towards God does matter. Your heart posture towards God must be love what he loves. I'm helping you today. I'm helping you with your kingdom sentiment. I'm helping you to push yourself and posture yourself into the Jesus mold. Love what he loves. Oh, that heart posture towards God, right? I said governmental sentiment must be led by God. The only way your sentiments can be led by God is that you love what he loves. Are you understanding? If you have to be led by God, how can you call yourself led by God and you and your feelings? That is to say that your thoughts are his thoughts. But scripture has already made it clear that what? And our ways are what? And his is what?
Higher.
Above, higher than our very own. Come on here. So why, if you are going to be in the kingdom and if you're going to be found in Christ Jesus and if you are going to be considered a son, how could you maintain the same heart? How could your heart posture be stuck in your own sentiments and not in what the king loves? Oh, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. The second thing I want you to understand about Jesus, because listen, Jesus's heart posture was towards his father. His heart posture was toward his father. He could not have accomplished what he accomplished if it wasn't. The other thing about governmental sentiment is the obedient mind posture. Oh, come on. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You'll never be renewed in the spirit of your mind if you don't hate what he hates. Oh, I'm all over the word today. You must hate what he hates in order to be obedient. If your mind is not renewed, and if you are not renewed in the spirit of your mind, you'll always love your Adamic nature and your Adamic sentiment. You'll always love your emotions over God. You'll always love your culture over God, and you'll always love your personal relationships over God. But the obedient mind posture is to hate what he hates. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. That's your second position if you are going to govern yourself. The first posture, your heart towards God. The second, obedient mind posture. Come on, you got to posture your mind towards God. So you got to love what he loves and hate what he hates. Now, the third position, if you are going to be a ruler and reign on this earth, from a governmental standpoint, you have to be obligated what? Not just to serve, because you will never get into servitude if your spirit is not obligated and if your will is not obligated to Jesus the Christ. Your obligated spirit and will posture must be to love what he loves and hate what he hates and lean not to your own understanding. Come here, come here, come on closer, come on in. Why? Because you must recognize that you have obligated yourself to yourself. And that you believe that however you understand a situation, however you see the situation, that that is how you execute the situation. You think not? Let me give you a case in point. It could be something as simple as, listen, I want you to do this job for me. And the job requires for you to paint this wall white, this wall red, and this wall black. And I come back and you've painted all the walls white. Why? Because you don't like red and you don't like black, and you don't think that those are appropriate colors for the environment. And so you're waiting for me to return to tell me this fact. But when I returned, I came to come back for one wall to be white, one wall to be red, one wall to be black. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? We do this all the time. Okay, let's not keep it at painting the walls. Let's take you to, listen, you're going to set something up. And I say, or your leader says, or God even says, he wants one thing red, one thing blue, one thing yellow. You might give him green. And I'm keeping it simple because what I want you to understand is that your sentiments rule on the smallest level. And if you don't identify how your sentiments are ruling on the smallest level, it's inevitably impossible to obligate yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ's will, because your will is constantly inflicting its understanding on every situation. Come on here. A mother leaves their child with you, and the mother says, my child only likes oatmeal, bananas, and raisins. Some kind of way you're going to slide in an apple or oodles and noodles and something else. Are you just giving it a little taste? Oh, come on. I have to keep the example so simple, because the problem is we want to preach a complex gospel, but you're functioning with a simple mind. You don't have any understanding because your sentiments are always saying it's not you. So I have to take this down to the least common denominator and show you that it is you. Because from day to day, you cannot follow a simple instruction because your will is always inputting its own thoughts on every situation. People can't ask you to do a simple thing because in the midst of the simple thing, you're always imposing what you like and what you think. So how is it that you believe that you are going to obligate your spirit or your will to be postured towards the king and love what he loves and hate what he hates when you still lean to your own understanding regarding all things? Oh, come on. No discipline. And in your non-disciplined disposition, you're always fouling in the ball because you're always ruling by your own sentiment. But in order to operate according to the king and in his kingdom and to produce kingdom success, there's only one sentiment in the kingdom, and that's the Jesus mode. And the Jesus mode governs itself according to obedience, according to obligation, and according to the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, come on. Jesus showed us how he conducted himself in John 5 and 19. Verily, verily, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Where are you on that? Where are you on that? Because whether you realize it or not, whether you respect it or not, if somebody's asking you to do something, then they are the ones in charge. They are the ruler. Oh, come on here today. I just bop, bop, bop. That was a little pistol shot. Why? Because you think you rule something. But when you start being an agent, a worker, on somebody else's behalf, you are not the ruler, but you may be the leader. But the leader is supposed to fulfill what the ruler desires. Oh, come on. And the reason why you're lacking in success and you're not a son is because you are still leaning to your own understanding, and you are not doing with what Jesus the Christ showed us to do. How do you govern yourself? Verily, rarely, I say to you, the son can do nothing of himself. Rarely, rarely, I'll say to you, the son can do nothing of himself. You're not a son because you do everything of yourself. This is why I'm dealing with your sentiment, whether it's rooted in emotion, whether it's rooted in how you have cultivated yourself, or whether it's rooted in your relationship, what you relate to. Either way, if your heart is not postured towards God and your mind is not obedient towards God, your obligations won't be either. With that being said, I need you to understand that in this Jesus mold, obedience to divine government positions is the position is the only way we can rule and we can reign. Obedience to divine government positions is the only way we can rule and we can reign. You have to take a position, and your position must be what? I love what he loves and I hate what he hates. Come on here, are y'all understanding? This is where we have an issue. We're saying that we're sons of Jesus Christ. We're saying that we're sons of the Lord. We're saying that we're sons of eternity. We're saying that we're seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding with him. We're believing that our prayers matter, but yet we don't even believe that we should position ourselves to govern according to the obedience in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not ruling in reigning correctly. Our position should be to love what he loves and hate what he hates and do only what we've seen him do. All of us would have gotten further in our salvation. Can we agree? All of us would have been able to put more things up on the board as far as productive fruit for Jesus the Christ if we could what? Just position ourselves what? To love what he loves and hate what he hates. So with that being said, obedience is all about what? Submitting and complying. Submitting and complying. Submitting and complying. Willful submission to the command, to the will, to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of our sentiments, regardless of our emotions, regardless of our culture, regardless of our society, regardless of our humanistic relationship, regardless. But you cannot get into regardless. You cannot disregard your own self if you don't believe you need to comply. You must comply. What are we complying to? That obligation to do his will, not our will. But the problem is you cannot get to complying until you surrender. I taught you this. Now I'm going to bring it forward. If you surrender in the natural, to surrender, it is a law. And what does that law say? That you give up something to the power or the possession of another. It's a legal situation. It's binding. I'm giving you this money And now I'm what? Surrendered under you. Because now you're ruling. I'm giving you my love and my affection. You're binding yourself. Now whatever you're giving your love and your affection to is ruling. But when you look at surrender from an eternal law standpoint, you give your will and your sentiment up to the power and the possession of God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Scripture. All right, let me say it like this. Surrendering is a legal matter. When you surrender, you give up your will to God. You give up your culture to God. You give up your emotions to God. You give up your relationships to God. You place them under his power. You give him total possession. That's what those creatures in Ezekiel were performing. Eternal surrendering. Turning whatever God wanted to have done, whatever was listened, called forth. They were ready and immediate and hastily responding. Can you really believe that God possessed you when you push back so hard on his will? Do you really believe that you're under God's power when you push back and resist what it is that he would like to have produced in the earth through you? And the first thing is holiness, righteousness, truth in your inward parts. Come on here this morning. And you really believe that you have surrendered and submitted yourself and that you are in compliance with the Lord our God. I am just saying, in order to know for sure that your obedience is unto God, you must have the posture of the Son can do nothing of himself. We do nothing of ourselves. I'm not over here doing something of myself. I move with God. And many people don't like that movement. But it's okay because I'm not here to please people. I'm here to please God. See? I just said something great. Why? Because I love what he loves and I hate what he hates. I love what he loves and I hate what he hates. And there is a distinct marker for that. It's called my salvation. My salvation is anchored. It is sure. If I die today, I promise you I'm making it into heaven. I promise you eternity is going to welcome me in. Why? Because my will and my sentiment has been given up. My Adamic nature has been given up. And you must do the same if you want to ensure your place in eternity. Jesus mold, Jesus mold, Jesus mold. Listen, I'm loving this. The Jesus mold. What is the heart posture of the Jesus mold? I want you to understand, Jesus never made decisions from pity. I told you this before. This is not new. Go back and listen. Jesus never made decisions from pity. Jesus never made decisions based on public pressure. And Jesus certainly did not make decisions based on personal pain. He bypassed all of these areas where the soul will fail with flying colors. As a matter of fact, he said, well, thy will be done. I taught this point back then. Go back a couple of weeks, go up on YouTube, you'll find it. It's all over the sentiments and unjust emotions in the Ecclesia. He obeyed the Father even when it caused division, pain, and rejection. You need to study the life of Jesus Christ, because the life of Jesus Christ, the Jesus mold, came with division. He came and separated those who were sons just with his mere presence. Because I'm not going to get ahead of myself. His mere presence created division. Y'all got to understand this. We'll get into it later. Because some followed Jesus and some did not. Is it true?
Yes.
And he wasn't saying to those who wasn't following him, hey, get over here, was he? He was working with those who follow. Jesus doesn't work with the tear. Jesus doesn't work with the tear. Oh, y'all gonna understand one day. Jesus leads the wheat. Even when Jesus was in pain, he didn't turn away. He didn't say, uh-oh, fight or flight. He ain't out here preaching. You know, I cannot... We're going to stop bringing so much of the world into the body of Christ, where we believe that the world has better answers in the scripture. And it's nothing wrong with dealing with and helping people to understand psychological concepts about fight or flight and all of that. But still, people can get healed and delivered and get their minds back just setting them straight in the truth of the of Jesus Christ and delivering them the wisdom of the word. Because what happens is we take all of these worldly cliches and worldly information and we make it a crutch. But Jesus, he was like, listen, this may hurt. This may be killing me, but I'm doing it anyway. Why? Because I utterly agree with my Father. I only do what I see my Father do. And I've seen him do this before. But the problem, the reason why we cannot deal with Jesus and with the Father and with our heart posture correctly is because we're not in our word. And even if we are in our word, we don't believe our word. We believe that that was just an assignment for Jesus and not for you. But I want you to show me the pattern where Jesus had a whole new assignment. I'll show you how he didn't, because I just read it. Rarely, rarely, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. Jesus didn't do anything new. So my question to you is, why are you? Jesus did nothing new. He did what he saw his Father do. And scripture already tells us there's nothing new under the sun. So every situation that you're facing, there's already a scriptural outcome to the situation. There's already a scriptural elixir to your situation. There's already scriptural guidance to your situation. Whether it's division, pain, or rejection, there's already a scriptural resolution to it. Govern yourself accordingly. But the issue is, we don't. Jesus' heart posture was to be led by his Father. We keep trying to say that we are with Jesus. We keep trying to say that we are sons, but guess what? We're leading ourselves. So either God is leading you or you're leading yourself. Because this scripture already shows us that he did nothing of himself. He only did what he saw his Father do. This is for all you sons, you know, spiritual children and natural children. It doesn't matter. If you're calling somebody your leader, your mentor, your spiritual mother, your spiritual father, then where's your heart posture? Jesus' heart posture was to be led by his Father. You have to understand that when you are becoming a son, if you are saying that you are under somebody's leadership, then they must lead you. That's the whole purpose of leadership in the kingdom, is to be led. So where did all of these options come from? But this is Jesus mode, not option mode. I'm dealing with Jesus mode, not optional mode. Because you have no options in the kingdom, because the kingdom of Jesus Christ is already set up. The kingdom of eternity is already set up. There's absolutely nothing new under this regime. Jesus mode, Jesus mode, Jesus mode. Right now, we're just dealing with Jesus mode and the heart posture if you are going to be in a Jesus mode. Jesus' heart posture was to be led by his Father. Jesus' heart posture was to advance according to his Father. Oh, come on here. How do you want to advance? How do you want to move your life forward? Is it under your own will, or are you advancing according to the will of Jesus Christ? Well, to advance, he said, wait a minute, he's already told you you're above and not beneath. Oh, come on here. He already said that what? You're the head and not the tail. He's already said that you're the lender and not the borrower. Come on here. If you started right there and just looked at your life, you won't be able to say if you are being advanced according to the Jesus mold or according to your own understanding. Come on here today. Jesus's heart posture was to follow the blueprint of his Father. He didn't sit down and orchestrate another way. I just told you about the white wall, the red wall, and the black wall, right? That wasn't following the blueprint. Because the orchestrator came along and told you what they were orchestrating. They were orchestrating a white wall, a red wall, and a black wall. In some kind of way, you orchestrated a white wall, a white wall, and a white wall. That means that you did not follow the blueprint, and you also did not advance according to the kingdom. Come on here. Which also means that your heart was not postured towards the king. Your heart was postured towards your personal self, your personal persuasions, and your personal appetite. This is the problem with preaching a personal Jesus. I don't preach a personal Jesus. I preach Jesus the King. I preach Jesus the Sovereign. I preach Jesus the Lord of Lords. Jesus, the King of Kings. Jesus, the one who only did what he seen his Father do. That's what I preach here, because my only interest is for you to become a governor of your soul. And you'll never become a governor of your soul because you are hinged upon your personal preferences. That's the only thing you have your life hinged upon. And because of that, we have an epic fail in the kingdom. Jesus' heart posture, God bless you, was to follow the pattern of his Father. How many of you have children? If you have children, you know the pattern that you've instilled in them. You know when they going left and you've only taught them right. That's why, listen, that's why God could say to Adam, who taught you that? That's why he could say to who taught you that? He knew that their behavior was strange. That they were out of position for two different reasons. But one and the same. But more than anything, Adam shouldn't have never been able to be moved out of his position. But the reason why he was moved out of his position is because he didn't follow the pattern of his father. He didn't follow the pattern of his maker. He didn't follow the pattern of the one who has secured his life. You don't follow the pattern because you don't want your life secured. You like being a free agent. You like your free will. And you like your fallacies, which lead to failure. Jesus mode, Jesus mode. Jesus mode is a governmental mode. It has no choice but to follow the pattern. It has no choice but to follow the template. That's why he got up early in the morning. Because he wanted to follow the template. He wanted to follow the blueprint. He wanted to advance according to his father. And he wanted, listen to me and listen to me well. He wanted to be led by his father. Do you? I have to put that question on the table. I have to send that question forward into the airwaves. I have to send this sonar asking the real question to the body of Christ. Who do you want to lead you? Is it God the Father, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit? Or is it your mother, your father, your spiritual mother, your spiritual father, and some familiar spirit? Because when you shift out of natural things and into eternal things, listen, that's called the Jesus mode. Your heart posture has to change. Jesus mode, Jesus mode, Jesus mode. In the Jesus mode, you live to behold the Father. That's why you have a life of worship. That's why you have a life in prayer. Because you want to behold the Father. You want to behold the word of Jesus Christ. You want to behold the Holy Ghost. You can't imagine life without them. You're running after them. You're chasing after them. You're saying, listen, I don't care if I have nothing else on the face of this earth. As long as I have you, I can move according to your will. Your will can be done on earth as it is in heaven because I've beholded you. I'm holding fast to you. I'm not letting you go. I agree solely with you. Your will is my will. I love what you love. I hate what you hate. I have no other understanding other than what your holy scripture says, and I utterly agree. I admire your word. See, I'm a mother too. And I tell you this, my daughter admires my word. She's seen my word produce over and 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 over again. And because of that, she looks for that word. Mom, what do you think about this? Mom, what do you think about that? Mom. And if mom has to step in, it's a yes and an amen. That's how I should do it. That's what you, I mean, sometimes it's utterly amazing to watch. It's utterly amazing to be a part of. But the problem is, we don't want the word of the Lord like that. We don't admire the word of the Lord. We don't read the scripture and say, wow, what a God we serve. Look how he thinks. Look how he judges. Look how he executes. Look at the pattern he's laid before us. Look at all that he's done. We don't admire that and then say that that's what we want to go after and position our hearts to go after that. No. We position our hearts to go after the world. I want to be a millionaire. I want to be a billionaire. I want to sell everything. Oh, is that what it takes? 500 clicks, 400. Come on here. Because God can show you too how to get there. You don't have to use the world system for everything, because God is the ruler of all. He's the ruler of all. But the problem is, you don't have the patience to wait on God the Father to do it his way. That's why you make up your own way. Behold, behold, behold your Father. Admire your Father. But more than anything, Jesus the Christ, the Jesus mold, wants the Father to be glorified. Jesus did not fumble. He did not fail his Father, because he was not going to prove his Father to be a liar. He was not going to prove his adversary, his Father's adversaries, to be the rulers, to be above and not beneath. No, he proved Satan to be beneath. Worship mode. Jesus worship mode. Jesus worship mode. Jesus worship mode. Jesus glorified his Father. He wasn't leading himself. He didn't lead himself astray. And many of you do it from day to day. You lead yourself astray because you don't want a mother. You don't want a father. You don't want a leader. You don't want a God, or you don't want the big God, should I say. You don't want the big king. You want a little God. You want a little king, or you want to be God, or you want to be king. But Jesus never took that position. The Jesus mold never raises itself above its leader. The Jesus mold never, never, ever says that it knows more than its own Father. The Jesus mold. The Jesus mold. The Jesus mold is an honorable mold. And you are dishonorable because you can't even honor your leader. You don't want to be led. It's a heart posture. It's a heart posture. I'm going to keep saying it because I'm breaking through in your mind. I'm breaking through in your soul. I'm breaking through in your spirit. This is a position. This is a posture. This is how you walk the face of this earth. You can't wait to die to now join in the Jesus mode. You are of no value. You have no track record of proving that you can handle the kingdom as it is on earth, as it is on earth, as it is on earth. You can't handle the kingdom on earth. You certainly will not be able to govern the kingdom from eternity. I'm gonna stop and let you think about that. The Jesus mold is a heart posture. It's a heart posture that desires solely to leave evidence of his Father. Jesus walked this earth to leave evidence that what? His Father is the ruler of all. His Father is the maker of all. His Father is the one. He didn't walk the face of the earth to leave evidence of himself. He only get that testimony because he honored what his Father sent him to do. And because he did, he won the prize. Come on here. You're not winning the prize because you are not functioning according to the one that sent you here. Oh, hallelujah. Do you not know that you've been sent here? You've been sent here to leave evidence that Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit still exist. What are you doing with your life? Your job is to show forth proof of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's all Jesus did. Jesus mode. Show forth proof of his Father. He's out there. He's being tempted. Jump off the cliff. And you can have all of this. Jesus is like, what? You're laughable. I already have all of this. Y'all too busy arguing facts that are non-factual. Because you would be sitting there talking about, well, wait a minute, let me pray. I rebuke you, devil, and God is Father. Listen, he gave him a couple of words and moved on down the road. What are you talking about? We got to have a whole seance. We got to call our mother and our father, and we got to get everybody together, rebuke the devil, put him in his place, and keep on moving. But the reason why you have conversations with the devil is because you're really contemplating to do what it is that he wants you to do. And half of the time, you find yourself in agreement. Because when you utterly disagree with darkness, you don't spend your time with it. Like I said, Jesus leads the weak. He spends no time on the tear, because the tear already has its judgment day. It's gonna take care of itself. But the wheat he's working with, why? Because the wheat want to be led. The wheat wants to advance. The wheat wants the blueprint. The wheat wants the template. The wheat wants the pattern. The wheat will behold him. The wheat will admire him. The wheat is going to do everything to glorify him. The wheat wants to leave evidence that they exist. The wheat wants to show forth and be the proof that they exist. What? The wheat is going to safeguard his Father's reputation. Come on here. I'm walking y'all through this. Because by teaching you the Jesus mode, you're going to be able to see either you in the Jesus mode or you're not. Because when you wake up in the morning and open your eyes, if your sole purpose isn't to behold the Father, isn't to admire the Father, isn't to glorify the Father, isn't to follow the template of the Father, isn't to follow the pattern of the Father, isn't to follow the blueprint of the Father, if it's not to advance according to the Father's will, if it's not to posture yourself to be led by the Father, then you already have your answer. You're not in Jesus mode. And I want to know, what spirit are you producing from? Jesus' mold safeguards the Father. Jesus' mold safeguards his Father's reputation. See, Jesus wasn't going to put up on the board that he was below. He wasn't okay with that. That's why he got up in the morning. Okay, dad, father, leader, how do I do this? Because I can't. See, that's not your posture. Your posture is this. I don't know if I'm even trying because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm probably going to fail. But Jesus is like, listen, show me how to do this because I can't fail. Why can't I fail? Because I'm your son. I'm your fruit. I do what you do. I don't do what I do. So show me where the holes are that I don't have understanding and where there's a lack so that when I go and present what it is that you're sending me to do, I can't fail. Because I've already consulted with you. You've given me the knowledge, the insight, and the wisdom. And now I'm packaged with it. And now I can go and do my job. Mm-hmm. That's not what you wake up doing. Mm-hmm. You won't even take the time to find out how to do what you've been sent here to do. And when you don't do that, you're not safeguarding God the Father. You're putting a different, come on here, this is the problem that I have with the body of Christ, because you're putting a different reputation out there that is not the reputation of God the Father. How do we know this? And how do we know that he cares about his reputation? Because when they showed up in Antioch, Jesus didn't show up in Antioch. They called them Christians. They said, listen, because you are performing like Jesus the Christ. And they called them Christians. Reputation, 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 reputation. If he didn't care about what you did and how you presented yourself, then that would not have ever made it into scripture. And many of you are walking around doing whatever you want to do. You're not in the Jesus mode. And then you want to say you're attached to this church, that you're a fruit of this church and a fruit of that church and a fruit of this pastor and a fruit of this apostle and a fruit of this prophet. And you are in singular mode. And they may not be in Jesus mode. But my point is, you cannot say that you are under a leader and not produce like that leader. You cannot say that you are under a leader and don't care about what your production represents, that you yourself single-handedly is changing the reputation of that leader. You. This is why, listen, God had to deal with me, because when I left church, and I'm going to put it right there, when I left church, entering my life, Christ, I didn't know anything. I was young. But when I left church, my intentions was to leave church, but I actually left Christ. And the reason why I wanted to get out of the church is because it was full of hypocrites. Full of them. I'm not talking about the congregants who come to learn and to grow. I'm talking about the leaders drinking, partying, and then coming up in the pulpit, worshiping, leading, and preaching. Not caring about the reputation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it impacted me and caused me to leave him. But I thank God for Jesus, because it's Jesus and the Holy Ghost that got me back in the right posture, in the right position. If I depended on church, I'd still be a walking, living hell. Why? Because the church does not safeguard the reputation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church promotes perversion. The church promotes persuasion of every other guy. But it does not protect the reputation of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know that today? Because we got somebody who's supposed to be a kingdom servant and a kingdom leader saying, God is using the dogs. What is everybody supposed to believe from that? Now people are going to believe that sororities and fraternities are of Jesus Christ and accepted in his kingdom. And it's not. Why? Because God himself said, I will have no other God before me. I am a jealous God. Serve me with your whole life. Serve me with your mind. How can you serve God with your mind when your mind is serving another God? Because those are Greek gods. Everybody know that it's a Greek god. And those of you who claim to be of Jesus, you're not in the Jesus mode. Because you don't care about his reputation. You don't care what you produce. And you don't care how you influence people. You're not following the blueprint because you've never seen Jesus the Christ joining with any of the other gods walking the face of the earth. And when he walked the face of this earth, it was full of culture. The same culture that you see today is the same culture that existed then. There is absolutely nothing new under the sun. And he defeated them all. Why? Because when he woke up in the morning, he knew he was responsible for his father's reputation. And he kept to the blueprint and the way of his father that he consulted every morning. Why did he consult his father? Because he knew that he was a watchman over everything that he was to produce in this world. Come on here. I'm walking y'all through this. Because at some point, you must understand that you are the watchman. You. Not just the leaders that they're saying are leaders. Not when you are in Christ Jesus. You too are a leader. You too are responsible. You too are obligated to follow the blueprint. That's why it's called salvation. Work your soul salvation out. It says that you have to work your own soul salvation out with fear and trembling. I can't work nobody else's salvation out. I can preach this gospel. And this gospel, when preached according to the gospel, is going to cause you to work your own soul salvation out. I don't give you a lullaby and tell you, because you're listening to my live or you're a part of my congregation, that you're going to heaven. I'll tell you to your face, you're going straight to hell, and this is why. And if you don't want to go to hell, this is what you need to do. Why? I'm an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I only build living epistles. You are a fake and a fraud if you don't live for Jesus Christ. And that is the bottom line, and I'll never apologize for it. I'll never apologize for being hot. I'll never apologize for being on fire, because I didn't apologize when I was cold, and I never apologized when I was lukewarm. Why does Christians on fire for Jesus Christ have to apologize for loving the Lord thy God? I'll never. Don't ever ask me to, because I won't. I am proof that Jesus Christ is alive. I am living proof that the Holy Spirit is still moving in the earth. I am living proof that Father God rules everything and he's never changing his position. Listen, Jesus woke up and he understood every day that it was his job to induce his Father's world in the earth. How about you? You should be birthing the kingdom of eternity every day that you open up your eyes. Eternity should be coming forth on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. What are you putting up on the records for your life on earth? You should be inducing eternity. That's what I do here at Rain Embassy. I induce eternity into your life. I make it active. I make it start moving. I make your new creative spirit wake up. Wake up. You've been asleep. Wake up. Use your mind. Govern your mind. What? You can't be asleep in here. Because that would make it a dead kingdom. And I don't need death. I need life. What are you talking about? There has to be life in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Death culture is not our way. Truth, light, blood, water, fire, wind is our way. Jesus understood that it was his job to galvanize his father's world. What do you think he was doing with his disciples? He was galvanizing them. He was making them strong in the way of eternity on earth. And the one that was weak hung himself. He killed himself. Why? Because he was the fake. He didn't want to be led. He wasn't willing to have his soul pressed out. Okay. Jesus the Christ's heart posture is to inspire his father's world. He preached the gospel to inspire people to what? Enter into his father's world. The kingdom of what? Is what? I guess we know we're here. I guess. He didn't say you had to wait. It's at hand. Ain't no waiting. He inspired you. Come on, enter in. Enter in. Let's go. I'm going this way. And everybody that went the way that he was going was proof that God was on the move. It was proof that the Father was on the move. Because Jesus himself said, well, wait a minute. If you see me, then what? I can preach this gospel. And I don't preach it in a way that causes you to be stagnant. I preach it in a way that causes you to come alive and move forward. Come on here. All right. Jesus' heart posture was to coordinate his father's world. So what do you think those meetings were? He was making sure that on earth that there was evidence that his father's world exists. That is why we come together. That's why we have a ministry available to the public. It is not for us to come together and galvanize familiar spirits, but that's what happened to that Women Evolve thing that just went down. That was a gathering of familiar spirits, because if it wasn't, there was no way Where Them Fans At could have been an intermission. It could not have existed. They would have been rebuked. And if this was the Old Testament, they probably would have lost their lives right then and there, because God would break out. But it's because we have the blood now that he gives you an opportunity to repent. And I promise you this, y'all better repent, because that was not of God, and that is preaching a false gospel, and it's causing people to believe that they could be in this world, remain of this world, and go to eternity. That's a lie. Either you are in this world and you love this world and you have already satisfied your life with death, or you are in this world and not of this world and satisfied your life with life unto God and gained life. because you have to lose your life in order to gain life in Jesus the Christ. And that's not a lost life. If you are still flicking your hip and waving your fan and professing to be of Jesus the Christ, I'm here to tell you, you are not in Christ Jesus, because Jesus only did what he saw his Father do. There is no purpose for the fan. There is no purpose for the hip flicking. There's no purpose for those boots. And there's no purpose for moonshine, and it's no purpose for backing it up. Because that's what that song is about. How did it end up being at a place of great influence to thousands of women? No governance. Sentimental, emotional, familiar, cultural, relational governance. But the Jesus mold causes you to govern yourself according to eternity. It's led by God. Your heart posture towards God is to love what he loves. You are obedient in your mind to hate what he hates. And you are obligated in your spirit to lean not to your own understanding. That was a lot of leaning. That was a lot of leaning to one's own understanding. And there was no hating what God hates. Because God hates adultery. God hates adultery. God hates lasciviousness. God hates fornication. And that is what that song is all about. Jesus' heart posture is to preside over his Father's kingdom, his Father's world. He knew that. He understood it. That's why he didn't cower down and he didn't pull back when he was approached by the Pharisees. He wasn't saying, I'm not the son. He was like, what about it? I am. Is that you? Do you understand when you are obligated to preside over the Father's world that you never put another God in charge? That's not presiding. That's why I keep preaching and teaching you that you are in a trusted, valued position, and you should care about your day-to-day outcomes. You should care about your day-to-day thought processes. You should care to not preside over. You should care to preside over. You should care to rule. You should care to reign. You should care to upkeep the blueprint, the parents. Jesus knew that his heart posture had to remain as what? A spearhead in his Father's world. Why? Because he knew he was the only one doing what he was sent to do. You too busy trying to get along, fit in, look like everybody else, be like everybody else, think like everybody else, that God can't get you to spearhead anything for his benefit, because you want to be under your own persuasion. I told you, the white walls, the white walls, the white walls, the white walls. The white walls is no different than the white wall tomb. God is trying to get you to move out of the white walls and and get a little red over here, a little green over here, and the only thing you can produce is the same old thing, your own sentiment. White walls, white walls, white walls, white walls. Empty. 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 You cannot spearhead empty in the void of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' heart posture was to serve his Father's kingdom in the citizens that were coming along. Now, if that was service at Women Evolve, then we have a problem. We have a major problem. Because they didn't service according to the king. That was not service according to the king. And don't say people are only harping on one thing, because it only takes one thing to send you straight to hell. Read the book of Revelation. You could do all this work, but he said, but I hold this one thing against you. So don't say people are harping on what. That's right. In the kingdom, we will deal with the issue that is the issue, even if it's one thing. What am I saying? Everything else about the conference could have been great, but that one thing is enough to send everybody to hell. Because you didn't serve the kingdom in the king's kids according to the pattern, to the blueprint, to the template of Jesus the Christ. I've never seen Jesus in this scripture flickering, switching, singing about anything, giving the enemy anything other than bow down, go, get thee behind me, you're rebuked. That was the response in the behavior of Jesus the Christ, not a willing participant. I'm going to end on this one, and we will pick it up next week, because I think I've given you a lot to consider until Tuesday. Because we'll be back together on Tuesday, and then we'll be back together on Sunday. But this is very important. Jesus' mold does have a specific mold, a specific heart posture to shepherd his Father's kingdom in citizens. Jesus understood why he was sent. He did not shepherd those who were in his presence around him, who decided to become his disciples. Even the one that decided to betray him, he's still shepherding. Oh, come on here. I just said a lot right there. With that, I'm going to leave it right there, because I'm going to go deeper into that next week. Until then, I want you to remember, as he is, so are you in this world. We are just like him in this world. So I want you to think about the Jesus mold and your heart posture and make some decisions until we meet again. God bless you. See you on Tuesday. Mm-hmm.